pray that the Lord would help us and bless us as we turn together to his holy and precious word of truth for our instruction. The children at the Sunday school will know that the text is in the Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6, as we looked at it in the Sunday school. And it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. Well, that word acknowledge we looked at in the Sunday school, as the children will hopefully remember. And just to recap, when I go to my courses, and we're all having to learn, every day is a school day, as people say, and I have to go to lectures and various things to keep up to date, and you hear all these highfalutin scientific information, and then often at the end of the slide, the last slide will say, "And all this work was possible because," and there'll be perhaps a photo of a big team of people, all of whom have been doing the research that they've been able to tell us about. And those people need to be acknowledged. They should be acknowledged that they were part of the team that found out what it was that they'd been finding out. There'll be a team photo from stood outside some lab somewhere or something of all these people that have helped. And as I said in the Sunday school, it would be wrong to miss anyone out and make out that you had done all that work yourself. It would be a bit selfish. It would be a bit proud to make out that you'd done all the work, when actually it was lots of other people involved, and perhaps lots of sponsors that had funded the work. And all those people need to be acknowledged. And so that helps us perhaps to understand what this word acknowledge is, because you and I are to acknowledge God. We are to acknowledge that God has given us many, many blessings. And we are to acknowledge God's part in bringing us, or God's not just part, but he's been involved in bringing us into this world and given us all the things that we have. The first commandment is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And what that means is that children of God, believers, must depend and rely upon and lean on, as this says here, God more than anyone else. We should be first and foremost relying on God. We should have no other gods before me, says God. That's a commandment. It says here, don't lean unto your own understanding. It says that in verse 5, doesn't it? So don't depend on yourself. Don't worship yourself. Don't trust in yourself, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. And when he has helped you, then acknowledge his help and say, "I did this because God helped me." And the Bible is full of examples about this. I was just thinking, you could perhaps think of lots of examples yourself, but I was thinking of the life of Jacob. And hopefully you'll know that Jacob left home, and we think he was we always think in our mind's eye, I suspect, that he was just a teenager, but actually he was about 70 odd years old when he left home and ran away from his brother Esau. And he had that vision, didn't he, that the Lord would be with him and take him out and look after him and bring him back. But what possession did he have when he had that dream? He had one staff in his hand. That's all he had. It's like he was nearly broke. That's all he had, was one staff, one stick in his hand. It says in Genesis chapter 32, "I passed over this Jordan with my staff. It's all I had, a staff. And now, when he came back and he is praying to God for God's help and blessing because he was about to meet up with Esau and he was very afraid. And this is what he acknowledges about God. He says, I passed over this Jordan with my staff, but am now become two bands. And that word bands, you might think, well, what's that? Well, it's armies. Two huge groups of people and animals. There were servants. There was lots of children, at least 11 children that he had at this stage. And there were flocks and there were herds and there were no doubt various other things, camels and asses, I don't know, all kinds of things that that he had. And they split them into two bands, two armies. There was so many. And he acknowledges that God had done these things. He says in the next chapter when Esau asks him and he meets up with Esau and Esau says, well, what are all these things? Whose are all these? Who does all this lot belong to? He says, these are the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. He acknowledges that God has given. He acknowledges how God has given. He said it's graciously. That means he has given to me in a way that I was totally undeserving of. And Esau would have known that, wouldn't he? Esau would have known that Jacob didn't really deserve. He'd done a really nasty thing to Esau in many respects, been a real deceiver, a real liar. He was undeserving, all right. And Jacob doesn't say, these are all the things that I got because I'm so good. But Jacob says, these are the children which God has graciously given to thy servant. You see, Jacob is able to acknowledge that he was undeserving. He was able to acknowledge that he had nothing of his own, just the staff. And he is able to acknowledge that all that he now has, God has, out of the kindness of his heart to him, unworthy as he is, had given him all these possessions. And then I was thinking of another example in Deuteronomy. We see how Moses teaches the children of Israel that when they get to the promised land, they are to have a very solemn time where they stand before God and they are to declare some things before God. As if to say they were going to hand on heart, they were going to make a declaration before God. They had to bring some of the fruits of the land, some of the milk and the honey if you like, or whatever it was that they'd been promised that they would have in this promised land. They were to come with the fruits of the land. They were to demonstrate that God had given them the fruits of the land. And then they were to make a declaration. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 26. They are to declare, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. Now that Syrian that was ready to perish was Jacob. Jacob was on the point of perishing. He could have perished at Esau's hands. He could have perished at Laban's hands. He could have perished at the hands of, was it Abimelech, I think, that had to do with Dinah. He could have perished many times over. He was a Syrian that was ready to perish. That was where he started out. And he went down to Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a mighty nation. And they were to declare of that God had brought them to out of Egypt through the wilderness into this land that he had promised to them. And now here are the fruits of the land. Here is the demonstration that God has been faithful. Here they are to acknowledge something before God. Thou, O Lord, hast given me the first fruits. Thou, O Lord, hast given me the first fruits. Here is an acknowledgement, you see, that it is God that has done what he has done for them. It wasn't them, because they were descended from a Syrian that was ready to perish. Someone that was, you might say, right on his last legs. And yet, out of that, God has taken something so small, if you like, and made it such a vast thing. And that, you see, is where we need to acknowledge God. So that in a few years' time, in Joshua's day, Joshua was able to look back and make another declaration in front of an awful lot of people, and he declared, "Not one thing has failed of all the good things which God has spoken concerning you." Not one thing has failed. There's an acknowledgement, isn't it? That God is good. God is faithful. God has done what he said he would do. God has given us all this that we have. It's a wonderful blessing. Look at the beautiful land. Look at the beautiful homes that we live in. Look at all that we possess. And it all comes from God. And this isn't pride. And this isn't anything to be proud of or arrogant about. This is something to declare our inability and God's ability to make out of that which is, in Jacob's case, almost like one foot in the grave, and to make a great thing out of it. And so it is important, as Moses taught the children of Israel, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." The children of Israel, they were God's people, and where they were truly God's people, that is how they lived. And that's how the Jacobs of this world and the Moseses and the Joshuas that we've been looking at. But you can see there is a contrast. There is a contrast between those people who don't believe in God and don't put God first and put all sorts of other things first, like people or possessions or their own skill or their own strength or their own selves. And a good example of that is Goliath. The giant Goliath, you see, he was a man that was an unbeliever in the first commandment. He didn't rely on God only or even at all. He relied on what? What did he rely on? He relied on his muscles. He relied on his spear. He relied on his shield. He relied on his strength. But he did not rely upon God. He was disobeying the commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." You shan't rely on anything. You shan't lean upon anything. You shan't trust anything. You shan't depend upon anything other than God. In fact, he despised those people that did rely on God. He despised those that did depend upon God, that did lean upon God. He despised the children of Israel, and he despised David, didn't he, when David was going to come and fight against him. And yet David says, this is the truth, David says to him, "You're coming to me with a sword and a spear and a shield." And he might have gone on to say, "Your great big muscles and your huge height. But I am coming to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, whom you think are of no value, whom you think that you've got far more power than them." And yet this man was a huge giant. And we see here, as you know the story, the mighty was overcome by the almighty. The mighty Goliath, who put his trust in his short sword and his spear and his shield and his strength and his height, the mighty Goliath was overcome by the almighty God, whom David trusted in. David went into that battle not trusting himself, but God. He says, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." And so we see there the difference, the contrast between a person who trusts in himself and who says, I can have myself as a God before God, or someone who says, no, the one thing that is needful in my life is God. I depend upon him, I rely upon him, I lean upon him. And that man, David, overcame the other, Goliath, who trusted in himself. But we are to be honest in our trust, in our acknowledgement of God as well. There's a very, very solemn and sad story in Acts chapter 2 of some people who made out that they were trusting in God and made out that they were being honest and putting their entire trust in God, and deceived Peter and, as it says here, the Holy Spirit by selling some land. Let's say they sold some land for £200,000. And they come to Peter with £100,000 and say to Peter, we have sold our land for £100,000 and we are giving everything to you for the benefit of the church. They were pretending to acknowledge God in all their ways. But in actual fact, they've got £100,000 stashed away for their own use, just in case, you might have thought, that they didn't have to rely completely upon God. And when Peter ascertained that they had sold the land for, he asked the question, £100,000, and they said, yes, we sold the land for £100,000, and the man dropped dead. He'd deceived God. He'd been a false acknowledger of God. He'd falsely acknowledged that God had given him this amount of money, because he had deceived God. And then along, he died, and then along came his wife, who was also party to the conspiracy, and Peter again asked her, how much did you sell the land for? So much? 100,000? And she said, yes, for so much. And Peter said, well, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. In all of our ways, we are to acknowledge him honestly. Honestly. It's really important that we acknowledge honestly, because God knows the absolute truth. You cannot deceive God. Ananias and Sapphira couldn't deceive God, and neither can any of us. And so, for you and I, you see, it's your ways, it says here, doesn't it? Or thy ways. That means your ways. It means my ways. This is written from God to us. My son, forget not my law. This is God in heaven that through Solomon, inspired through the Holy Spirit, he writes to us. This is recorded for you and recorded for me, that in your ways acknowledge him. This is the instruction. This is the command. This is the advice. And there are blessings that follow on. And we are to acknowledge that we are weak and frail, but that God is good. I was reading the other day in Psalm 135, and we read there in verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. There is a good God. We have every reason to acknowledge, wherever we sit in the world, the goodness of God in comparison to what we deserve. And so, acknowledge God in all your ways, in your health. Do we acknowledge before God in prayer that the health that we have, We have no ability to enable ourselves to fight against the coronavirus. These situations that we have gone through in the past year has been a real wake-up call to people. Because there's been a situation where people realise they can't do things, that things are out of their control, that they're unable to guarantee themselves things. And that's been an awful shock to many people. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge, point to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the God that is able to heal, the God that is able to make the blind to see, the lepers to be cured, the lame to walk and so on, and the dead to be raised from the grave. We believe in Jesus Christ, that is the same Jesus today. He is able to give you the health and strength that you need for everything that's set before you and whatever you have today. He is good. We are unable to do these things for ourselves. So acknowledge your weakness and inability to fight, for example, coronavirus, and acknowledge God's ability to do these things for us. In all your exams that you have, you know, it's a good thing. Yes, it's good to be diligent at work and school and so on. But at the end of the day, to acknowledge that it is only by God's wisdom that we can get through those exams. If we understand ourselves, I'm forgetful, we're all forgetful, we get in muddles, don't we, and we can't answer the questions sometimes, and yet there's a God in heaven that's able to help us. And so we are to acknowledge him. We are to say, I managed to do it, but it was through God's help. And then it's not about boasting at all. It's about acknowledging that we are dependent upon God's help. In our jobs, if we're given jobs, again, we are to acknowledge that, yes, there's so many people that can't get jobs. Why aren't I amongst them? It's because not that I'm any better than anyone else, but because there is a God, and we acknowledge that there is a God that has given us the jobs that we have so that we can earn our daily bread. There's nothing to boast about, but it is if we talk about these things. We are allowed to talk about them, but we should talk about them giving God the honour and glory. Otherwise, you're like those people that do a scientific presentation and just say, well, I did all this work by myself. And forget about all the team behind them. And that would be very unfair. But it's no more unfair than you having whatever you've had with your success in your exams or your jobs or your business. And just saying, well, of course I did it all by myself. No, we should declare in all these things what God's involvement has been. Same with your house, if you've been given and blessed with a house, that God has opened his hand and provided the means for your home. That God has given you family, husbands or wives or children or grandchildren and all the blessings that we have. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. Acknowledge him in lands and buildings or properties and all the things and farms and all the things that we have. There's nothing to be ashamed of, but we are to be always thanking God for what he has given to us in all these things. In every success, whatever honours that you may have received, acknowledge God. I did these things because God helped me every day. And in today's world, there isn't just issues with just our possessions and so on. But I was in, as I say, every day is a school day. I have to learn lots of things. And a week ago, I was on a course about mental health and coping with things. And I went on heard a very interesting person who's been in Afghanistan twice on tours of duty in the army. And he was telling us, it was a real lesson to me because it acknowledged something. He acknowledged something about human nature. He acknowledged that just at the moment, everyone needs a little more than anyone else can give. And I thought that was very profound.
I'll say it again. He said that just at the moment, with all the corona and all the stress that's going on around, everyone, all the big wide world, needs a little more than anyone else can give. The world out there is missing something. The world, and in our hearts, you may be acknowledging that too, that I'm missing something. I'm not able to do what I ought to be doing. But acknowledge him. Acknowledge you need a little bit more than anyone can give you. Correct. But acknowledge that there is a God in heaven that is able to supply your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is what we are to acknowledge. That there is a God in heaven. Amongst the people, the big wide world out there, there is a God in heaven that is able to supply our every need. We put Bibles outside our house, and I put a little slip in the Bible just after I heard that example. I'd had a little slip in there before, but I put something extra in it. And I said, the gospel means God's good news to mankind. Because when mankind thinks, this is words to this effect, but when mankind thinks that we can't quite get everything right in our world, there is the message in this Bible that tells us our God can supply our every need. I didn't put it in quite so many words as that. I can't remember what I said now, but that's the message, you see. The world out there is in difficulty. Souls and people, perhaps in this chapel as well, are in difficulty. Because no one can quite give us all we need. But there is a God in heaven that is able to supply our every need. Acknowledge him. You see, that's the important thing. To acknowledge our God, my God, is able to supply your need. And then he also said, this tutor that I was listening to the course, was all online, so I didn't meet him, but this tutor said that just at the moment, you see, life is so out of control. And people feel that where they like to be controlling of everything, and there's many of us like that, we like to have everything in a row, all the ducks in a row. But just at the moment, you see, people are a bit out of control. COVID comes along and they have to isolate, or they can't do what they wanted to do, or they can't see who they wanted to see, and they can't behave in the way that they wanted to behave, and they can't work in the way that they wanted to work, and all sorts of things like that, and people start to feel helpless, overwhelmed, and give up. And burn out. That's what he was talking about. He actually had suffered from PTSD himself. Post-traumatic stress syndrome. I think it's, or disorder, sorry. And he knew about what he was talking about. And you see, to be helpless and feel that you're in a hole and you can't get yourself out is a very worrying situation for a person who, as a soldier, would have been in control of everything, no doubt, he thought. But our word of God, the Bible, has all about it. Because we see in the word of God that there was Jehoshaphat. And he knew that everything was out of his control. He says, we have no might against this great company. There's an acknowledgement, isn't there? An acknowledgement that the world agrees with us, that we have no might against the things that are going on in the world around us any more than Jehoshaphat did with the world that was around him all those years ago. And yet, stage two, acknowledge God. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. Acknowledge God. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee, upon God. And you can read the whole chapter if you want, but I haven't got time to go through it today. But they were granted a massive victory. They didn't have to fight at all, and they came back to Jerusalem, for the Lord had, and they rejoiced, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. That's it. They acknowledged God, you see.
It was as if the last slide of the presentation about this battle that Jehoshaphat had, there was an acknowledgement slide. And the acknowledgement slide that the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. You see,
in all thy ways, acknowledge him.
And then the third thing that this fellow that I was listening to was telling us about was the fact that in the world's solution to problems, when people are absolutely scared or like standing like a rabbit in the headlights and not knowing what to do, the military solution is to break the problem down into its component parts and try to logically work through it as a team to try and get through to the other side. And he showed a picture of an immovable object, like a 12-foot high wall. And a whole group of 12 soldiers could climb over a 12-foot wall by helping themselves and breaking the problem down into lots of component parts. And you can look at it perhaps yourself on some point. But the point is that the military solution, the diligent solution, the way that the world tackles problems is to deal with it like that. It breaks it down and everybody does their part, and then the problem is overcome. But you see, that might be okay for now, but what happens if you're old and weak and frail and you can't climb a 12-foot wall? However much people try to help you, for example. You see, people realise, well, yes, I can be diligent now, I can have self-control now, I can have strength now, I can be disciplined now, I can be fit now, and I can succeed now. But what about the future? What about 30, 40, 50 years' time? What about 100 years' time? What then? And you see, mankind becomes fearful again and worry about what's going to happen about the future. Well, you see, the word of God has about our God. My son, forget not my law. The Lord Jesus, you see, our Lord, talks to us like little children. Little children, he says. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Look in first of John chapter 2 and you'll see, my little children. Here is another way of dealing with fear and worry. Not about discipline, not about us focusing, but on us knowing and experiencing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to carry us when we cannot carry ourselves. Just like it says in Isaiah 46, I believe, that I will carry you. I've brought you out of the womb. I've carried you, and I will carry you all the way down through your life until you're old and grey-headed, or till you're grey or hoar hairs. I will carry you. You see, there is such a thing. And this man spoke about soothing love, but he kind of said, well, that's nothing to, you can't really deal with that. Because the concept to the world of adults being cared for like little children in the arms of God is something that they cannot comprehend. Mankind cannot do that for each other, but God does these things for us so that our Heavenly Father can nurture and soothe us like little children, and so that adults like us can know the love like a little child knows in its mother's or father's arms. To know that thou, Lord God, strengthens me. As Paul said to the Philippians, I can do all things, how? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, here there's no room for boasting at all. There's nothing about pride here. Whatever I have, and I may have tremendous honour or wealth or whatever it is, and I may be a very honourable, upright, looked up to person, but the clear thing here is that we are to acknowledge God. We are to say, don't look at me. It's not me that's made me like I am. It's my God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. There's nothing, you see, to boast about. And then also, you see, We are to acknowledge that I am a sinner, that there is none that is righteous, that all of us are hell-deserving sinners, all of us are death-deserving sinners, all of us are curse-deserving. That means we deserve the curse. That's acknowledging me. But we are also to acknowledge God, that God has come into this world. The Lord Jesus Christ, I should say, has come into this world, not that we should be condemned, but that whoso believeth in him should not be condemned, but should be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to save sinners, says Paul. And Paul is a saved sinner that was saved by God's grace, that is able to declare to other sinners that they too can be saved by God's grace. And that's a wonderful thing. We are to acknowledge where we are. If we're saved by God's grace, we're not to strut around as if we are better than others. We are to declare ourselves as the chief of sinners, and yet that we've been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. His mercy and his grace. And so how are we to acknowledge all these things? Well, we're to acknowledge these things, first of all, in prayer. In prayer. And when you ask for prayers, in prayer, you may come out with a prayer that's of some length. But what is the most important part? It's the last few words. For Jesus Christ's sake. That's the only reason you have any reason to expect anything from God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is able to open his hand to you and give you those things that you need. And once you have received whatever it is, you are to acknowledge, I didn't get it for myself. It wasn't because I'm just privileged by my birth or my inheritance or whatever else it might be. It is my God has opened his hand and supplied my need, and to declare it and to honour God in these things. And then to thank him. Thank him in your prayers for what he has done for you. And then in your conversation about your daily life with the people that you bump into, don't be afraid to acknowledge God, that what you have is by God's grace. They may look at you a bit strange, but you declare it. Because who can tell whether they may say, I would like to know a God that is able to supply my every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And in your walk, you are to habitually have a life that leans upon the Lord Jesus Christ. A life that habitually depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ, relies on him, so that when something comes on, it's almost like your sixth sense is there to take it to the Lord in prayer before almost you've even thought about it. Another problem, another prayer, another answer, another thanksgiving, another acknowledging of what God has done for us. And we are to testify these things. We are not to keep quiet. Here, they that spoke, those that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And what did they speak about? They spoke about what the Lord had done for them. We are to be like that. We are to be acknowledging our weakness and our inabilities and acknowledging that where I am is by the grace of God. And in all thy ways then acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This isn't, you see, all about being competitive like the world. The world is competitive. The world wants to climb over other people's backs to get up that greasy pole. That's what the world is like. One-upmanship. And so on. But what we are to be like is each of us personally relying on our loving, mighty, good, heavenly Father, that he will give to us in our need what we need. And we will then be content. Whatever we have relative to other people, We will be content that that was what God opened his hand and gave to us. And others will also be content that we have been given those things. And we're not proud about it, but God has given us these things. We have, you see, a shepherd. He shall direct thy paths. A shepherd to direct us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, you know, is a shepherd that cares lovingly. And when I say lovingly, sometimes it's difficult to understand what lovingly really means. But what lovingly means in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was told this by Brother Conrad in America, in Africa, and he's a preacher there, and he told us, he said, the love of the Lord Jesus is that he is committed to our welfare, committed to our welfare and to our good, without any reference to the cost it cost him. That is love. It's not about I will love to the point that it starts interacting and interfering with my life. I will love and I am committed. God is committed to us. The Lord Jesus Christ is committed to us, even though it cost him his life to save his people. And so, if we have a God that is committed to us through all eternity to care for us forever and ever, just think about, we are able to trust him for the things in this world, that he will give us what is necessary, what is needful, what is sufficient for us. And we will be able to acknowledge that in every path, he has given us what was necessary and what was good for us. And he shall direct our paths. And these blessings are until the end. I am with you always, says the Lord Jesus, even unto the end. And for each one of us, that means the end, actually, even unto the end of the world. For each one of us, that means that Jesus Christ is committed and has made a commitment to look after us until the end of the world, when he will bring us to be with him and we will be close, we will be face to face with him, and he will continue to supply our every need. So it's not about competition and trying to be up on other people, but it is about us being committed to those around us for their welfare too. In all thy ways acknowledge him, that out of the fullness that he gives to us, we shall have to help those that are around us for their welfare too. Well, we'll leave those thoughts where that is. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, we do thank thee that thou, Lord Jesus, art a God that is able to bind up the brokenhearted, to find the lost, to raise the dead, spiritually dead, and to bring us into thy eternal kingdom. Lord, these are all things that we totally cannot do for ourselves. We acknowledge that thou art the good giver of every good and every perfect gift. And so, Lord, we pray that as we go on our way, Lord, that we may acknowledge thee every day in our lives, in our prayers, in our personal meditations, and Lord, that thou would direct our paths in love and mercy as a dear loving shepherd from where we are today to thy eternal kingdom, as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.